Hari Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Shri Krishna's Samhita, or Sandarbha, Adhyayana 5, Adhikarana 2, Equality of the Prakat and Aprakat, Pastimes. Bhagavatam supports this elsewhere. You can be inferred from the gunas, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.2.25. The Supreme Lord is perceived in all living entities through perception and inference by intelligence. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.2.35. The meaning for the gopis is as follows. So you can always see Krishna's everywhere. So you can say he is inferred by the gunas because the gunas is a potency. The potency means it has to come from the potent, and he is the potent by which it runs. You know, so why things run the way they run, that's his desire. Right? Means there's rules for everything. And so his desire is the establishment of the rules, right? All the Vedic rules and all that, that's because that's his desire, right? Now you're going to have the principle of what's there, that it's actually in connection with him, or it's going to be how nicely the mechanics work, or it's going to be how the field works, right? So in Sat, Chit, and Ananda, you're going to have, so in Bhagavan, Ananda, that's going to be the natural form of the manifestation, right? When that's prominent, when kriya is prominent, that's another one. When the existence is prominent, it's another. Does that make sense? So he's always present in everything, right? Now it's just a matter of the consciousness of the living entity. Therefore, because you have these levels of consciousness and all that, therefore, then also all the rules they are. How you say, designed to accommodate all that wide variety of how people are comfortable to follow the rules. Because everybody should be doing whatever they're doing in connection with the Lord. So, since they won't do anything in connection with him as a person, then they may, as the Supreme, or just the situation. In this situation, this is what you can do. Right? And so the idea is the rules, whatever they are, whatever level they're for, they're going to be elevating. Right? And then you can say, oh, they're elevating, so anyone can follow them. But how is, let's say there's 20 steps and you're on the 10th step. How will the fifth step be elevating for you? You have to, you have to go backwards to get to the fifth step. And then you can say, oh, I'm elevating. But you're already on the tenth step. Why would you bother? You know, it's just like a child in the second grade going to the third grade is elevating. But someone in the sixth grade going to the third grade is not. Right? So the Vedic literature is designed that all the different mentalities, they can be elevated from their position. But it's only used by that. And once it's used, then it's given up. Just like you go through third grade. You know, so that was elevating from the second. But when you get to the end, you have to give that up and go to fourth grade. You can't say, oh, no, this was really nice. I really like this grade. You know, and just stay there. No, you have to move on. Right? So there's always that aspect. So this point is Krishna can be understood through all the anything in the material world. Because it's all him, and it's all designed to bring us back to him. And it's all designed in a way that will bring us into activities that are in line with him. But the change is the consciousness between material and spiritual. When it's about pleasing Krishna, the person, then it becomes spiritual. Right? Otherwise, it just remains material. It may be elevated material, motive goodness material, instead of motive passion, or it's motive passion instead of ignorance. But it only becomes Shuddha Sattva when it's understood about the relationship with the Lord. Right? Does that make sense? Yes. Yeah. Okay. So that's why he supports himself. It means he can be inferred from anything. So that's how, then, from any position, you can see that. But now, second, the meaning for the gopis is as follows. Because they're already on the platform that they only think of Krishna. They're already on the platform of samadhi. I, Atma, being full of knowledge, Jnanamaya, though resting in Mathura, am always conscious of you and never forget you. Though I stay in Mathura, I remain uncontaminated by association with those women, Shuddha. Because, saddened by your sorrow of separation, how could I get pleasure from other women? Thus I remain separate from them, Vyatirita, for I continue to dwell on your qualities such as beauty and sweetness, guna anvayaha. Similarly, I can be perceived by you with your mental faculties during sleeping, dreaming, and waking states. In deep sleep, you can perceive my general form and qualities as Paramatma. In dreams, you can perceive my particular form and qualities. In waking state, you can perceive me directly. In sweet meetings with you, with laughing and dancing and other pastimes. Sarada Tadarshini 10:47-31. So, because just like, let us say, we take here, then we're looking at the aspect of sadhana, right? So let's say someone, you know, meaning, in this case, a sadhaka, meaning one still has a material body, right? Now, let us say someone has elevated themselves up to the platform of bhava, right? They're still in this body, but then they are there in the past, they're on the transcendental platform. So then from here, thinking of the pastimes and the Swarasiki pastimes, they're moving. And they're able to take part. It means if they're up to that level. Does that make sense? Otherwise, then it'll be that mantra mai pasha, mantra. Yeah, mantra upasana mayi. Can you say it? Mantra mayi upasana?
You can.
You can.
We'll say it.
Okay. So. So, then one is there in the pastimes. It's non-different. Remembering Krishna is non-different. So then what pastimes are those who are you taking place in? Right? So that'll be the aprakrita pastimes. Because those are always going on. That makes sense? Right? So now, they're in the pastimes, they're with Krishna. No one will say they're not. Right? Means if we as sadhakas are on that level, we're absorbed in Krishna, we're associating with Krishna. No one will say we're not doing that. Right? Now here comes the fun. But now when we talk about the gopis, they're not doing that. Oh, they're separated, they can't. How about just by remembering them? See? The dilemma here? Point is they're in samadhi, they're thinking of Krishna, perceiving all the time. They're always therefore absorbed and directly associating with him. If you're thinking of Krishna like they are, then they're in the Swarasiki pastimes and it goes on. So even though to them it feels like it's meditation and they feel that they're separated from Krishna, they're actually directly interacting with Krishna in the pastimes. No?
I mean, the overlap is the difficult part.
But it's only difficult when it's with the gopis. It's not difficult with us. That's why I brought it up at this point. Because it just is another way, because it's difficult, like you said, but pointing out, we don't have a difficult, oh, is there, and it was that, and pastimes, and this and that, and it's fabulous. Somehow, if we're doing it, it's cool, but if the gopis, no, there's this and that, and this rule, and this thing, and this separation, and this time, and this space, and this logic. You understand?
Yeah.
So, that's the point is that if you're thinking of Krishna, Krishna is non-different than the thought. Just like he's non-different from his name, he's non-different from his form, his qualities, his pastimes. So if you're thinking of those, you're absorbed, you're associating with the Lord. But because they're in the Prakriti pastimes, that it will have the feeling of separation, that they're there. But when they absorb themselves, they'll be carried away and they'll be with Krishna, directly associated. But then, at a moment that something brings them back to the external kind, then they'll feel that separation again. So it's the same would be here. You're there, you're absorbed, like you see Lord Chaitanya, he's absorbing. Oh, and what is he talking about? He says, yeah, we went here and we did that, and then this happened, and then that happened, and that was so wonderful, and I was just about to see this ecstatic thing, and then you guys brought me back here. So he's there in the apricot pastimes, not feeling any separation. And then when you come back to this, then there is. That's the thing. Prakat means separation, apricot means no separation. So when he in the prakat, if he's there and manifesting that, then they're with. But if he moves on, because that's the nature of the pastimes, is that he moves from one realm to the next, but at the same time he's always there. So that's how they're never separated. So that's why Uddhava can see both. Because when they're absorbed in Krishna, that's actually how it is. The cows are thinking of Krishna and absorbed in how they're running around and, you know, how they, you know, cows kind of dance like that. They have the tail in the air and all these things are going on. And I said, he's seeing them. So that's the thing, is they're non-different. But at the same time, there's a uniqueness to them. There is, what does it mean? Variety.
Vishesha.
Yeah. There's a vishesha. So there's that uniqueness is there. So that's be appreciated that they're non-different. And if you think, then you're absorbed there. And if you're not, then because otherwise, we don't see the prakat pastimes are not happening in Vrindavan right now. Right? They happened 5,000 years ago. But if we remember and absorb ourselves in it, we are therefore appreciating the whole pastime. You know, whatever it is that we've gotten from the Shastra, we can't take it beyond that. So we're still in Mantra Maya Pasa. Right? So that much you can appreciate. Right? But where is that happening? Because in Prakat it's not there, so it has to be the apricot. Unless you're going to say, am I conscious transferred to the next universe where that pastime is going on? But then the problem comes is each moment as it goes through, it's moving to the next universe. And so unless it's Prakat, then how, you know, you're saying that part goes. And then the previous part doesn't. And even if you do say, okay, then the next day you meditate on the same pastime. Now you're in a different universe. So why get into all that? No, it's just here. The apricot pastimes are going on. Return. Does that work?
Yeah. I mean, if we meditate like you explained previously, it's connected to time and space, and that obviously makes the whole process much more complex. If we meditate directly apricot, there's beyond time and space.
Yes. But the point is that Shastra is defining the Lord's pastimes. The Lord is non-different than his pastimes or his instructions. So if you're hearing Bhagavad Gita, you're hearing from Krishna. When you read Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavan Uvacha, you're hearing from Krishna. It's through the parampara, but you're hearing from Krishna. It's just like you look out the window and you're seeing what's going on out there. You know, that's the point of the transparent via media. You can see. So the point is the pastimes and all that are not controlled by time and space. Our consciousness may be. But otherwise, Krishna and his name, form, qualities, path are not. So that's the thing. We have to. The anxiety comes up because we're taking apricot as a place. And Prakat is a place. No, they're just the Lord's performing his pastimes. Prakat happens to be that those within the constraints of time and space with material senses can actually see and appreciate the pastimes. Like that. Well, the aprakat, then that takes the transcendental. But the shastra, what they're talking about, then that is place. That's giving you a, it's just like, let us say there was a whole program with all these, VVIPs that no one ever sees in that, but there's a picture of it, then that brings you there. Here there's a different time space, but there when the shastra gives a verse, there is no space. There is no time and space. So Krishna is not limited. We are, so we can't project that all this becomes impossible because of us. No, it's just we aren't. You know what I'm saying? The yogi can touch the moon, the midget can't. Or the dwarf, or the, what do you call it, vertically challenged, individual, or whatever is the proper term these days. They can't touch, but the yogi can touch. And the people on the moon, they're touching. So it's about our qualification, not others. Krishna's available. So that's the thing, is we can't ritualize then these things and then put onto it then our own. Because that's the thing we want to do. We want to be special. So therefore, if I'm doing it, I'm special. Others can't do it. Like I remember going and went to visit one Baba in Navadvip, because he knew the Garanhati style of singing, like Narottam Das Thakur gave. He was 108 years old, right? Went and visited him to talk about, arranging some learning and all that, something he could teach, something like that. So then he's, yes, like that. I'm a little not feeling well right now. Maybe after 2 weeks I'll feel better, then you can come, and like that. And so then, it was all very pleasant. And for him it was like, yeah, you come, you sit down, we'll learn like this. Then after speaking with him and all that, then one of his, you could tell it was one of his probably senior disciples that are there. That he's talking, oh, it's so hard, Garanhati and this and that, it's not for everybody. He's trying to make it look like it's impossible and only he's the divine God that's able to learn something. But the guru is saying, yeah, you come, you sit and this and that, and we'll learn. Does that make sense? So a lot of times we project that it's very, we either make it too easy, like the sahajiyas, no qualification on our part, and bang, I'm there. Or like we take it the opposite way, where we regulate everything by the rules and everything's no. Does that make sense? It can't be done. The point is we're just discussing what goes on. We're not discussing our qualification of whether we're on this platform. That is appreciated. We're not on, but it doesn't mean the gopis aren't. Because otherwise people emphasize too much, no, Krishna actually went back and stayed there and everything like that. Yes, but he did, but had that aprakat pastimes. So the aprakat's always going on, but they emphasize that as if it's the prakat. The prakat, no, it's separation. But because they absorb in the Lord, they're always absorbed in the aprakat, because they're always going on. They're always with Krishna. So that means that Bhava Rupa means you absorb yourself in Krishna, then he directly is there, physically, his senses, you're with Krishna. If he can appear in the deity, why can't he appear in the minds of the pure unalloyed devotees? Or in the heart and therefore be with them? Does that make sense? So we try to use logic so much to establish it in that. So remember, that was, I think, from Brihad Bhagavatam Rita, then, some discussions, because it goes back and forth between the aprakat and the prakat. And so then, they're trying to say, no, he's physically there. The point is he's physically there because of their meditation. And then they're absorbed in the aprakat. So therefore, they're with Krishna. and it's non-different. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is pointing out because this is all with the Udava, yes, the Udava pastime. You know, when he went, that he didn't see the stoves that were covered in cobwebs, and you know, nothing was arranged, and nothing. He didn't see that. He just saw the apricot aspect. He may be talking to Nanda and that in the prakat, but the surroundings were apricot. You know, it's just the Lord's arrangement. So he would appreciate it in Vrindavan or whatever was that, because that's their absorbed. They're always absorbed in Krishna. So in that way, they're always absorbed in the apricot. They're with Krishna, though physically it's prakat. You know? So the thing is that the two are non-different, but at the same time, there's uniqueness. One has the aspect of separation, one has the aspect of... They're always with Krishna. That doesn't mean like the Nimbarka is always with Krishna, that they don't have, you know, the cowherd boys go to their place and Krishna goes and things like that. But the point is it's always there. So even the cowherd boys that go to sleep, they dream, they think of Krishna, they're with Krishna. So there's no separation. Though, physically, he's down with the gopis and he's not with the cowherd boys. The cowherd boys are sleeping, the gopis are out dancing. So that's the whole thing. All these things that can all go on nicely at once. There's no problem that these different scenarios are going on at once.
Also, ultimately the main difficulty is to accept that Krishna unifies everything.
Mm.
Like to give up the principle of duality. Because from material world, our perception is mainly to see like Maya is different, and like, you know, Yoga Maya or Krishna's potency, spiritual potency is different. But towards the end of Krishna Samhita, then Bhaktivinoda Thakur points this out, that when conditioned soul, they are natural, they are absorbed in material object, then how is it possible for them to experience anything higher taste? Then it says, Vaishnavas, they devised a process of dovetailing material objects with Krishna consciousness. So that's why, although Maya Devi is projecting a perverted reflection, because she is the maid servant, when somebody tries to serve Krishna through using material objects, then she gives up her nature of to cover things, and then she opens the devotional aspects.
Mm.
So this is the great mystery of the Vaishnava faith.
Mm. Yeah, because the things move like that. So we'll too much overemphasize one or the other. You know, possibly like I'm overemphasizing now just because it's being presented so much. That, no, he's physically there. He is. But because of their meditation. So in their meditation, they're there in the pastimes, and that's actually the reality. But what you see externally then may be different. So that's the thing, the two can go on at once, there's no problem. Because like you said, Krishna harmonizes all these things. You know, does that make sense?
I was thinking about the saying that for us, the abstract, which is a mental state,
mm-hmm.
and concrete, which is a physical state,
mm-hmm.
they're two separate things.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's either this or that.
Mm-hmm.
And if a person in both stages simultaneously, means he's, you know, he's got problems. But here we see that it happens simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
Means what's abstract, it's aprakat. And what is their direct experience is prakat. But for them, it's no problem. And for Uddhava as well.
Mm-hmm.
But when we came to that part during the Bhagavatam study, we didn't have enough frame of reference. So that was very challenging to the consciousness, because it's got to be this or that. Because mm-hmm. this is our projection on the pastime.
Yes, yes.
It's either prakat or aprakat. I mean, we can function in both, which is true, but they can. So we shouldn't project.
Yes, yes. That's all. That's just all. Because we shouldn't use our so-called logic of duality on the spiritual world, because it's the source of everything. You know, because actually the mental state and all that, that's the concrete. It's what they're experiencing, that's the concrete. What's around them is the abstract.
Yeah.
So that Krishna's not there, that's the then their absorption in Krishna, that's actually the concrete. You know. So it works like that here, but we always present it as if it's the other way, but actually for us and our life and what's the drive in our life, it's the opposite. But that's the thing, we don't see that. Since we're working on the aspect of what I can see and what I can control, what's in my possession, that's real. You know? You know, it's just like you had that you know, even on the material platform, you have so many times somebody who has a vision of something that no one else has. You know? Like, you had, just as an example, you had that, I think it was in the mid, kind of mid-noughts, around the mid-noughts or something, or some place like that. There was somebody who was working within the stock market, understood that the whole housing bubble was going to collapse, because it was just not real. They were giving loans on loans on loans, and anybody, there was somebody from the street, they don't even have anything, they own 5 properties, but it's only on paper. So he could see this, and he was telling people that this is going to collapse, and they're all saying, no, this is bogus. So he even goes to a company, the biggest loan company, and says, I want to go short on these things, that this is going to collapse. And they all just laughed. But the point is they said, all right, on one condition, is that you keep paying money until it does. We're not just going to, you know, just say, we'll give you when it's there. You're going to pay until it gets there. You know, they just wanted, you know, their point was, it's not going to happen, and we're going to make money while we're going to be laughing. So at the end of the day, he was laughing. And he was the only one laughing. He made, I think, $2.34 billion off of that. So, in his mind, it was concrete. And everybody else, it's abstract. Same with all these big guys and their companies and all that. I'm sure those kids sitting in the garage thinking of Google or thinking of Apple and all that, everybody else is a bunch of idiots. You know, what does a 16-year-old know? And there they are. What do you know? They may be in there. Still in their teens, and they're CEOs of the biggest companies in the world, while all these 60, 70-year-olds are sitting there going, what just happened? So that's the thing. It's concrete for them. Others, it's abstract. So this won't be explained in your self-help books. They'll just say the law of attraction. You think of it, it will come to you, and all that. They're not saying it's concrete. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing. It's concrete. You do, because it's real to you. So even people have it that is concrete to them. The point is it connected with any kind of reality that's established, ultimately back to Shastra? That's what will define if you're crazy or not. So people think, I'll be happy in the material world. They're actually crazy. And then within that craziness, they have a more distorted God. Then we'll say, they're crazy. But actually, everybody in the material world is crazy.
I mean, the difficulty with us, as you mentioned, the sadhakas, is that we read Bhagavatam, we study Bhagavatam, and even after so many years, it's in the category of abstract. But unless it shifts into concrete, we can't get the jnana. It's all on the platform of jnana.
It's even, yeah, jnana, but I would even say is that understanding is technically jnana. Basically what it is we've removed doubts. But it's not necessarily have an understanding of it. Like you see Prabhupada, no matter where he was or who he was talking to, whether they're very elevated, you know, very intellectual, or simple, or like that, he was just giving these very simple examples, you know, how we're not the body, and how the body is dead and it's alive. It's alive because the soul is there. It's dead because it's made of dead matter. As soon as the soul leaves, it's called dead. When the soul is there, it's called alive. So that way it's called alive, but actually it's always dead. And just these simple things like this. So we'll hear them, we'll remove doubts. And so, yeah, okay, it makes sense to us. But how many are talking these things? How many use them in their preaching? Right? They'll say, oh, that's all, now I'm using something else. But Prabhupada always used that. That's the thing is that when you understand what it means, then you see this is what actually bridges the gap between their understanding and Krishna consciousness. Not something else. You don't need, you know, vegan or this or that to do that. That can be used as a medium, but it's not what's going to bridge the gap. Does that make sense? Otherwise, the doubts remain. Then if we don't get understanding, then as soon as something comes that we don't doesn't make sense, again we fall back into the doubt. And so unless we're hearing, we're not going to move up. So understanding comes from manana, that you're using it, you're applying it. So anybody who's contemplating it and trying to use it in their life, they'll get understanding. Right? And if they do that, you know, consistently, then that will give them realization. So you see, somebody has a good realization in one area. Like, let's say, devotees that have spent their life committed to Sankirtan, they see how it works and how it can solve all problems. And so when they're talking with realization, because they had understanding and they applied it. But others will say, yeah, Sankirtan mission is good and that, but unless, you know, we set up this bureaucracy, then nothing's going to happen and all that. You know, so but then there they see that, and they see this is going to, yes, if we do this, then this is how it'll all unfold. So it's where you apply. So if someone's applying, if an individual's applying, then they'll get understanding. If that's consistently applied, regularly used, then it will get realization. So it's just a matter of what's going, because everybody has to have some understanding and some realization, otherwise why are they in Krishna consciousness? But I think you're referring to a very more broad and more developed sense. And so, yes, that you can say happens because how many focus on the context of manana, applying it in your life? It's just said, right now, you should do this. No, but what about this? Just surrender, Prabhu. Okay, he surrendered. Now, how are you cultivating surrender in the devotees? No, it's only when there's a problem in management, then we talk about surrender. Some will say in the class, you know, we surrender to Krishna and all that. But you see, in the practical thing, it's only when your mentality is an obstacle to getting done what the management thinks is the right process. Then they talk about Sarva Dharma. Otherwise, they don't talk about it. You know what I'm saying? As an individual, they might, in the class, it's mentioned that there, so they'll speak on that and the importance of it, and they may be doing in their life, but you'll see is that it comes up at these different places. It's not consistent. So when it's consistent, then it starts to get what you're looking for.
I think that what you just mentioned is for a person to function in the material world, they have to be without certain doubts. Otherwise, doubts overwhelm them.
Yes,
they become
totally
dysfunctional.
Yes, yes, yes.
But they don't have to understand the process. They can function without understanding the process, and just removing their doubts, you
can act.
Exactly.
Mm.
So if we want just to motivate people to act in Krishna consciousness without, you know, like deep understanding of the process, that you can achieve by removing their doubts.
Right. Yeah.
But philosophy and deeper understanding of Bhagavatam in that sense, then they can actually function on their own, which is, you know, whole another level. But, you know.
Yeah. Because many people can't deal with individuality. So the more everybody's the same, it's easier to manage. Well, if everybody's an individual. So I've seen some managers, they deal with individuals. In other words, individuals are the ones that come up and get the positions. While the yes men and that don't get anything. Even though they're very qualified, they don't move up because they're just yes men. So if they have the position, if push comes to shove, they can't make a decision. Well, they look for those individuals. Prabhupada looked for those individuals. So in manana, you have two parts. Action, but contemplation of what you've removed the doubts from. In other words, you have some aspect of the philosophy, practical or theoretical. You've removed the doubts. Now you go to the second stage of manana, where you apply it, but you also contemplate its application and how the practical and the theoretical match. So, like you said, generally what happens is the doubts are removed, people become inspired and motivated, they perform the action, but they don't necessarily contemplate what they're doing. And so therefore manana is not complete. They only do part of the you know, one half of the manana. But the realization comes from the contemplating of the thing, getting the understanding, then being more inspired and keep doing that till it becomes Krishna, it becomes realization. Then it becomes value. Then they can function on their own. As understanding, they can pretty much function, but they'll need direction now and again. But once they get to realization, then they can function, you know, how you say, someone doesn't have to inspire them to get them to do something. They're already inspired by the process.
Yeah.
So this aspect of the other half of manana, you know, and you'll have those, they remove doubts, and then they just contemplate, they don't do. So before it would be more that the work, the karma aspect, everybody would do that. But now we see with some time is that this intellectual, academic, and so-called I'm a brainiac, you know, somehow or another, that comes up. And then that's superior. But it may be that the understanding the thing being is what's being applied to the action, then will give the realization. But without the action, you won't get the understanding either. So then you have, then you end up with these two groups here, you know, and which is traditionally always there. These two groups always are loggerheads, you know. And so you're going to get that. And neither of them is understanding that the two have to go together. You know, because the point is okay, the one can do, but can that intellectual, can they do? Not necessarily. You know, on their condition platform. Just as the person on the platform of action may not intellectually be able to do because of their conditioning. But when the soul acts on the transcendental platform, doing it as service, they can do both. And so that has to be, because the other things, oh, we're the intellectuals, we'll work it out. Oh, problems come up with, you know, no, we'll work it out. The thing is, but if you'll work it out, great, if you'll work it out, but the problem is why is it you didn't see the problem and everybody else did? They'll think it's, oh, because you're not intellectual enough, when it's actually, no, you're not practical enough. You know, so these problems comes that it comes up from Krishna, that Krishna is intelligence, he is skill. Ability in man is Krishna, and he is knowledge. So therefore, since Krishna is that, why not use these connected to Krishna? Then you're Krishna conscious. Otherwise, yes, you're pious, you're seeing it to the absolute, but you're seeing he's the source of all ability and he's knowledge, but not seeing it that his sarup is the form of, is the source of this. You're just seeing as, yeah, his position, this comes along with it. And it's not, just like the president, he has the power. But technically the person in the position doesn't. It's only because of the president they do. Right? You know, it's like, what was it? What's the guy, Carter? Maybe. I think he was a peanut farmer. You know, big, good peanut farmer. Probably from that you ran that and then, you know, started in the in the local representative for the local area, and then moved up, and that, and eventually became president. And then after presidency, he went back and took care of his farm. You know, so the point is, but as the president, he's doing those things. So we're kind of like, yeah, in that position, yeah, God can do these things. But the point is no, it's God's the source of all these things. It's not because he's God he can do it, because he is who he is, therefore he's God. So that makes the difference between the devotion and the Lord just being part of our, intellectual or, social, economic values. So that makes a difference on whether we're moving forward. How deep is that faith? Is it about that it's Krishna, everything, that's why it works? It means Krishna's desire is the cause of everything working here. So if you're saying, yes, it's like before, hippies, no war. But Krishna's the one about nonviolence. That's his value. Right? It comes from him. It doesn't come from here. So we'll see if he agrees with that, then we can accept Krishna in that aspect and all that. But we can't accept the other aspect but in this situation, there'd be war. Like Arjuna, he's compassionate. He's Vaishnava. He's trying to work it out in the simplest way. Duryodhana is not Vaishnava. He's violent. So Arjuna seeing that on the material platform, then it's there. But at the same time he, as a Kshatriya, has his duties. And he has to establish Dharma. And the Dharma is that the citizens of the state have to be, directed in God consciousness. Otherwise, what's the purpose of human life? Duryodhana is not doing that at all. Therefore, since it is Yudhishthira's business to be king, why wouldn't he be the king? The Pandavas, there were just some Brahmins living in a village someplace, and they know all this, but they're not kings, and not their business, then they'll try to teach whoever they can about the actual standards. But since he is a Kshatriya, and it is his birthright, to be the kings, then why they wouldn't establish what's proper? Because God wants people to be God conscious. Because for all these, non-violence, how many of these, hippies going out, protesting against the war, how many of them became violent? How many things were burnt? How many things were destroyed? And then they're saying non-violence. But to get their non-violence, they'll use violence. So why can't the Kshatriyas use violence to get the peace and prosperity and the stability? So again, it goes back to, we can use whatever we want, but those elevated persons know they're restricted by all the rules. Is that we have this tendency because of the authority issues. So therefore, we have different things come up. Yes?
In respect to this aspect that actually when we are first hearing Bhagavatam, the first aspect is losing the indifference that, should I hear or not? No, it's important that you hear.
Mm.
That is called sankalpa. You take a decision to hear and then it's important. That's the function of mind. So that actually helps you. It's the sankalpa aspect is the function of mind. Then, having heard, I heard this. Now let me see whether it actually works.
Mm-hmm.
That endeavor to apply, that the prayatna is a function of intelligence.
Ability to apply.
Mm. Many people may hear, but the ability to apply is not there.
Yeah, that's
that is a function of intelligence.
Mm.
Then having applied, now you can relate to the results of the actions.
Mm-hmm.
That is called as the garva or self-esteem, which is a function of the ego.
Mm.
So actually, mind.
So that's how it goes up from mind intelligence to the subtlety.
Subtlety. So all three aspects are there. That initially it's just clearing the doubts, as you say. Then when you apply, you get knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And when the ego sees the how it can be getting your results, that's when it
then, comes then to there was yeah. go for it. Then the mind comes out. That's where you see the ego and the mind are reversed. But in other words, it's the drive of the ego, therefore you go for the goal. And the mind has to make the decision because it's working in the field. Do I do? You know, will you, won't you, will you, won't you, will you, won't you, and that one. You know? And so, but when it goes, but then once it is, it's the mind that's going to experience it. Does that make sense? You know, so it's going to be both those things are, that they each have the position, but as it progresses, then it'll switch.
So this is in the sphere of action, these are the qualities of mind, intelligence, ego. Of mind, it is sankalpa, the decision to give up the indecisiveness. Mm-hmm. And of intelligence, it's the called prana, which means the endeavoring for action. Mm-hmm. And of ego is the sambrahma, which is self-esteem, is awareness of owning the fruits of one's deeds.
Mm.
Yeah. Or it's called sambrahma, which is the zeal to.
Yeah, sambrahma. Anyway, sambrahma sevimana.
This is from Lakshmitantra.
Yeah, so she's explaining how it all works. Yeah. So it's good on that, you know. So basic thing it comes down to, we just are accepting that the two of them are equal. You know. Because we'll put, oh no, if we have this, that'll be good, that. If we're with Krishna, that's good. If we're separated, that's bad. You know, if we're, does that make sense? Facilities go nicely, that's good. Facilities don't go nicely, that's bad. Because we'll look at it in our context rather than for Krishna. So it's just a matter, because we look at it in the reversed form. So technically then our logic will have elements that will be reversed and won't apply so well. So, that work or?
Yeah, I think I have to re-listen to this class.
This spurti form, this realization, is sometimes taken to be a direct meeting. During long separation, this is a cause of excitement for the gopis. In deep sleep, the spurti is also present. That is the meaning when he says, I always appear before you. Or by that, their complete devotion in waking and sleeping is demonstrated. Because they could not act in any other way, even in deep sleep, which is samadhi on Krishna, with various functions absorbed in him during waking and dream states, they entered a state of experiencing him at all times. Just as a person after deep sleep says, I slept happily, they recollect that he was with them. That is what is expressed in this verse.
Also, Maharaj, we see in the case of Narada Muni, his earlier life, Lord Vishnu appears first, and then it says, no more. Now you have to intensify your devotion to me.
To qualify that.
That same aspect is actually presented by the gopis here, that how you gradate yourself. Like, unless you are thinking of Krishna all times, like how they are thinking, we are not qualified to be in that association. So this gopis in this, it represents, of course, the Nitya Siddhas, but also the sadhakas. The whole process is meant for sadhakas, how they perfect and
how they come up to that, the state.
And after this 3 months later, it's explained, and also it's explained in Lagu Bhagavatamrita. For this 3 months till Uddhava came, they are in this state of experiencing Krishna in spurti form.
Mm-hmm.
After Uddhava left, then Krishna actually personally present. But sudden appearance and disappearance, but he's personally there. That is called as Avir Bhava Rupa. And then after some more time, then for killing Tantavakra, then that time Krishna personally comes and takes back to the upper past times from Prakrit.
So what's the difference between the spurti and the, what do you call it?
Avirbhava.
Avirbhava.
Avirbhava is personally there, but he appears there.
Because of the meditation. It's not that he's just loitering around and they go, oh, hey, there's, that means it's yeah. that they're absorbed in Krishna, therefore then, like he says, he appears. Because they're just the like, ashraya for yeah. this mood.
Just like Sachimata offers to Lord Chaitanya, then he
okay,
personally
the person comes
and
eats. Yes, yes, because of the devotion.
She's seeing.
Yeah, but she then she thinks it's not seeing.
Same. Krishna explains
okay.
to them that.
That's the abhir?
Avirbhava.
Avirbhava. And spurti?
Spurti is because of your meditation and all that, what is explained in this state that in waking, sleeping and deep sleep.
Mm.
How they perceive. This whole explanation is of the spurti, that the mind is constantly absorbed in like in the mantra by upasana.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's the spurti realization. Once the senses and the mind, the intelligence completely purified, then Krishna gives that sudden appearance, and then once somebody is qualified, then he eternally present in the full lila.
Okay. Okay, what is expressed in this verse? I mean, but this, but spurti has a definition itself?
This is the definition itself, Maharaj. I didn't find any more definitions anywhere.
Okay.
Before it says vispurti and now it's called as spurti.
Jagrat swapna sushupti shu yogas tasya cha yoginaha. Ya kachin manaso vritihi sa bhavat yachuta srayaha. All the function of the mind in waking, sleep and deep sleep of the person fixed in yoga takes shelter of Krishna, Garuda. Garuda Purana. Anucheda 159. Okay, that is the doubt. Even so, in our separation from you, we feel everything is destroyed. What shall we do? Ah, if you can somehow prevent the conception that you are separated from me, then naturally you feel you are eternally with me. I think you need a quotation at the beginning of the ah. Yeah. To express this teaching, Krishna teaches of the method taught in yoga scriptures in two verses. Yen indriyartan jayeta mrisha swapna vad utita tan nirudhyad indriyani vinidra pratya padyata. As a person just arisen from sleep may continue to meditate on a dream, even though it is illusory, so by the agency of the mind one meditates on sense objects, which the senses can then obtain. Therefore one should become fully alert and bring the mind under control. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:47-32. Jnana Yoga bears fruit when the mind is restrained. This verse deals with restraining the mind. By the mind, a man in waking state meditates on material objects, in dream as well. By mind, he meditates on dream objects, although they are false. Even though they are false. Thus, mind and the senses should be restrained. The careful person, vinindraha, acting in this way, gained knowledge. Previous conduct is testified as true by this statement. Right, so you control the mind because otherwise it goes off and it meditates on. You want to control the mind for the jnanis because you don't want to be absorbed in material things. Because if you're absorbed in the material thing, then in sleep you think about it, in wake state you sleep about it. Even in both states, it's not real. Right? In dream, I dream about it, it's not there. And in wake, I think, oh, if I had this and that, and I think of so many things, how I would be, and I become very happy thinking about how I will be, you know, have so much things. But unless you endeavor, you don't get. So the mind has to be controlled and just fixed on the actual object. Does that make sense? Yeah. So for the gopis, the following meaning is given. So that's what, how it works with jnana yogis.
Maharaj,
That
vispurti is defined like for 3 months the gopis were submerged in the fire of separation. Even during that time for 3 months, they maintain their lives by his vispurti, means by tasting the bliss of separation. Vispurti means a special appearance which was similar to his actual presence. The happiness generated by separation from him would cause an increased happiness of meeting with him later. This is the...
So the spurti is there, but at the same time the spurti is non-different from him.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's then he can also be present there in a way that's more than spurti.
Yes.
It's just, so it's all non-different, it's just different features of the same thing.
And it has a different taste, because here the taste,
yes, that'll
is
be
bliss thing. Of separation.
It's interesting, the bliss of separation. Yeah, because then when they meet, it'll be more. So then when you have that, what is it? Avir Bhava.
Uh-huh.
Then the happiness will be even greater. It's there.
Yeah. Avir Bhava is considered as unexpected appearance. Sudden or unexpected appearance.
Means that means you're experiencing the spurti and then he appears there.
Yeah.
Well, it'd be like that pastime where Radharani, they go to meet Krishna. And when they go to meet Krishna at Govindastali, then when they get there, Radharani, so everybody goes out to make arrangements to find, it means some go ahead to see where Krishna is, and so then they bring Radharani there. And then everybody goes out to do their arrangements, right? Because you want to set up. Because rasa dance doesn't just happen, you set it up, right? And so while they're all out, and so during that moment there, then Radharani is looking for Krishna, and all she can see is a tamal tree, because Krishna is just standing there, but she doesn't see, so she thinks it's a tamal tree. So then she's there and then talking to the tamal tree and embraces the tamal tree. So she's seeing Krishna in spurti in her mind, but then Krishna then embraces her, though he's actually physically pleasant, so it's beyond the... But you have these two aspects that can happen. So...
Yeah. I guess that's why that stage called Unmada.
Yes, like that. So you're seeing one thing as another, like that. So then, So all these plays in that, or having then, spent the time together and all that, Lalita went out to arrange everything. She comes back now, it's ready for the rasa dance. But then she's expecting that coming back and Radharani will look like she spent time with Krishna. But then some fun is there, is that that it was arranged that they redressed her and redid the flower, redid everything so she looked exactly before she met Krishna. So she'll be sitting there, and Krishna will be sitting there, and Lalita will come and see. What happened, meaning, why didn't something happen? And so that makes them fun, is that she can't see that, so all these different things is you're playing with it's the experiences in the mental state. It'll have that identity, so therefore you do that. It's your duty to do this, so then she goes and sets up for the rasa dance. That's what she wants to do. Because she controls the arrangements. And so then she's doing that, but then she expects other things will have happened, and then it doesn't, then it throws... So these different elements of taste, or of state of mind, then give the various tastes within Krishna consciousness. Just that on the spiritual platform, it's all centered around Krishna. Here, it's all centered around our false concept of who we are.
Yeah. Also in this aspect, this context, the main aspect that we cannot perceive this is what we have experience of love in material world is this spurti is on something else. And when we are present in front of a person, what we expect the person from the person is something else. Basically, both of them don't match.
Don't match, yeah. So the closer they match, we'll say it's a relationship.
Yeah, it's a relationship and the prema samputa, then when it goes, relation explaining that the love of Radha Krishna is where that is moiety as explained by transcendental moiety as explained by Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. Mm-hmm. It completely Radharani knows exactly what Krishna wants, and Krishna knows exactly what Radharani is thinking.
Mm.
They're like, you know, two bodies and having one soul.
Yeah. You said moiety?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so then...
That's why then the spurti and the actual presence makes completely...
That they're the same.
Say they are the same. Yeah. Only when it is pure love. Otherwise.
Yeah, so the all three layers, the spurti, the, what do you call it?
Abhibhava
and the physical presence, it doesn't matter, they're all the same. Because it's all Krishna. So that aspect is what is important. It's the three features of one thing. So that Krishna can be, you know, one non-dual entity, but have all these different features. Is that you know, because it's always in threes, no? You know, because that's the way he is. So everything has that nature. So they're all one, but at the same time, the three are unique. So Satchidananda are all features of one Sarup. And so they're all, in that way, having, you know, that harmony between them, of that non-difference, but at the same time, there's the uniqueness. And that's how things can shift.
And that's why always the acharyas stress on purifying our senses by performing activities in Krishna consciousness to understand this principle of, you know, Achyuta Shakti of Lord, in the sense of understanding the transcendental subject matter.
Yeah.
Because the more pure we are, then that makes sense.
Yeah. I was just thinking of that thing of that reverse. That's where, remember we were discussing before, oh, monkeys. That's their
on the roof.
Nityananda Kutir, yeah. I think they just do that because it makes noise.
For fun.
Yeah, because there's nothing to do. They just run around, go sit, and then somebody else jumps off, and then he jumps around, and then they sit. It's really...
Sometimes they run, and then they go.
Yeah. Just to get
and
more.
They're big.
Yeah, no, get more noise.
In the middle they come.
Hmm?
In the topmost middle part where it came in.
They go sit up there. So you have that, what do you call it, the feature of you perform an action when you get the result, and that result goes back to, I think it's Prajumna.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So then you have that thing where you're going to have that shift, that you're projecting what is there, because by your ego, only you can only go for a goal that your identity can function with. Right?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? It's like Hanuman and them can lift mountains. We can't. You know, they can lift a mountain. We can lift a glass of, you know, a nice cool summer drink. You know, like that. Or in this time, then some nice tea. You know, but unless we identify with that, we can't do it. So therefore, your goal has to have the ego, that I can identify with that, and it's something that matches. Then the mind from this side can go, yes, I accept and go for that. Then it will naturally go to the next stage where it will be applied through intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And what are you using in this field of intelligence is what was previously gained, right? Our field of action, and therefore its application with intelligence, increases by what you've gained. Then, as it goes, then you're experiencing that. Then when it gets to the results, then the mind can experience those results. Right. But it has to be, unless I can identify that's a goal I want, this is something I can do, you know, I have the intelligence, I have the senses, I have the credit, but then only I can endeavor for it. So unless I've from the mind seen that the sambandha aspects work, even though they're in the position of Abhideya and Prayojana, but sambandha gyan, this can work for me, then that can come, and then the mind can go forward and experience. So,
in the Lakshya Tantra, this point is presented as mind functions through the activities of cognitive senses, and then when the mind cognizes the object it is it becomes polarized knowledge. And ahankara next, it relates to the object of the polarized visual knowledge of the self. And afterwards, buddhi classifies it and presents it to the self, the kshetra again. So that's how it
moves through,
moves in.
Well, that's very nice, because that'll fit very nicely with what Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he defines. Mm-hmm. Just gives a little more detail. Sometimes it's like thunder. But he has to do it over on this, on the Goshala roof. It doesn't make quite as much noise. I think the younger ones do that. You know, because it just, any time you can get some noise, they'll do it, but the bigger ones don't bother. But when they go over there, then everybody gets into it. Because the younger ones will do, but they won't make as much noise as the older ones. You know, then. For the gopis, the following meaning is given. Waking from a swooning condition, a person like you rejects the mind which dwells in objects of the senses, such as seeing and touching me, tasting the nectar of my lips and embracing me, which though real, because they come from my actual appearance in this world, appear false as in a dream state. Because of that, without sleep, you appeared with eyes and other senses devoid of anjana, sandalwood, and color. I know that though I gave you all sorts of enjoyment, you, blinded by attraction, pained by separation, losing all discretion, consider all that enjoyment false. This gives me great unhappiness. I have therefore sent this message to you to say that your enjoyment with me is true. Right? Because they're thinking, oh, it's not there, and that. But he's saying, no, it's real. I am there. That you're thinking of me and you're being absorbed in me and all that, that is me. Just like, remember, Radharani is that's one of the points in the discussion with the bee, is that, you know, why am I wasting my time talking, you know, thinking about this guy? I should better think about something else, because thinking about him gives me pain, because I'm separated from him. At the same time, as though I can't think of anything else, so they're always with Krishna. But it gives a sense of separation. So Prabhupada Krishna is pointing out, no, this is real, it's me. What happened before is me. What you're doing now is me. What you're thinking about in the future is me. Because in any, there's only present. So if you think we will meet Krishna, your thinking of Krishna is in the present. You met Krishna before and you're thinking of that. It's still in the present. So, it's just a mood. It's just like having met, then you're thinking back. And then a little later you'll think forward. So you have in the ragas, then they have ragas within there. That's why in the modern context, if you're looking at the logical context, they reshuffle the ragas because it doesn't make sense to them, because they don't know about the personal aspect. So you have a morning rag. Let's say, you know, you're waking up, or, you know, a little bit before, and you're waking up, and then it has some, you know, then there'll be an aspect of its, you know, the action and stuff like that. Then there'll be the action of a separation. So then it will start to have, even though it's a little bit later in the morning, so the notes start to change. But then it's thinking back of having been with Krishna. So it'll have the present with that flavor of the back. Then it'll come up to the point where they're going to go out and meet Krishna. Then it will be still a morning raga, but they'll be thinking of noon. It'll have elements of that noon. Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, so these are there. So in the personal thing where you have the six ragas and the six, and each has their six raginis, then all this works very nicely. And then the putras and the putris and then the friends. Because this raga here has a friend in another time. That's because at this time, to think of that aspect works very well. You know, it's just like Radha and Krishna after being together in the Mangal Arctic, and then they go back to their places when they get up and that, they're first going to think about back. So the raga now will be friends with that raga. You know, but then now let's say they've now gotten up, they've had their bath, they're doing everything, they're doing, then now it's about meeting Krishna, because Radharani will go and cook for Krishna. And then Krishna will think, Radharani will come here. Rather, so he won't be thinking of that one. So In the sense that in this way, then it all goes. It's personal. But because it has these mixes and it'll have notes in it that don't match in this group, they'll say, on this group are only ones that have this notes. But then the problem comes is you have ones from this group and its friends in other groups have similar things, so you put them all together. That this is that, and ones that are here that go there, then those are taken out and put it somewhere else. So you get a very unscientific, they say it's scientific, but as a sense, music is about expressing emotion in that, they have a totally unscientific system. Because it's just trying to be logical. So if you're going to be logical, then you just go purely on the notes and all that and don't attribute it to this and that. And then you have the melakart. It's just you have these notes, they go together. And as you go, then the mechanics, you could change this note. This one goes up, this one goes here. You have three positions. So these notes, this last one is up, middle, down, you know, like that. And so you have three forms of it. Then the next one over has that. And then you have that. Then the next one you can have these two, you know, whether so you get six out of that, then the next, you know, like this. And so, and that way then you can get 72 ragas. It's just mechanical. Like that. And so it's just a matter of placing the notes. But then it's a matter of, okay, this one does this, this one does that. So that, but they don't bring so much together. It's just that this time of day for this we'll use this. It's not about the pastimes so much. Does that make sense? Other than general morning, evening, afternoon, like that. But the Raga Ragini, it's based on the whole Astakaliya Leela of the Lord. So that works any, that helps, or that just confused me.
I mean, the general conclusion that I made, because it was quite technical, in terms of music, because I don't understand, you know, traditional music. But then the difficulty is that nowadays people separated science from art.
Mm-hmm.
But according to your explanation, it's a combination of both.
Mm-hmm.
The science is
yes.
expressed through the art.
Yes.
And the art, it's quite scientific
yes.
actually in
yes.
its origin.
Yes.
So, unfortunately, and since it's, you know, been for a long time, nowadays, when you try to explain it to people, they can get the essence. They don't understand.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yes.
Another point is what they say science is the interface we use from actual science to applying in art. Their science is the practical aspect of the science,
mm-hmm.
which we are already trying to apply in the art. They don't have any science which is the philosophical aspect of science. Basically, when we talk about astrology or
mm-hmm.
astronomy,
mm-hmm.
And the main thing is about, like, you know, how the planets are actually representing the potency of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And then come where they are positioned and then all
mm-hmm.
how they move. And then comes the detail of application in astrology, how it relates to one's own individual self. But they left the first one, they left the last one, they catch the middle one. Movement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that way they can come.
You remove the person on the top, you remove people on the bottom.
It's all about the middle class. The rich are a problem, the poor are a problem. Right? Right? The poor shouldn't be poor, they should be middle class. The rich shouldn't be rich, they should be middle class.
Yeah, it's just generalizing everything, basically.
Yeah.
Which loses all the taste.
Yeah, lose the taste, lose all the personal. They claim it's all about the people, but then you make everybody exactly the same. So that means then, can anybody, then he did this or he did that, is that better? Like I said, remember it was funny noticing that, I think it was, it had it happen a few times, but it would be you're at a meal. Let's say you go to like a restaurant. We're talking about, let's say, going to Govinda's or anything like this. But you go to a restaurant, and with New Yorkers. I don't know about now, but this would have been previous New Yorkers. And so then, you know, all the ones that are like in their 60s and 70s now, you know, or so, that they sit down, and then different people order different things, you know, and then immediately there's this kind of, what do you call it? call it? It would be a dynamic that's in between insecurity and pride. Is that, you know, let's say, because they're all friends, there's four of them, three of them order, you know, basically one thing. The fourth one orders something different. Now, here's the question, and the doubt that comes up, is he an idiot, and we're the smart ones, or is he doing something, and he's smart, and we're the idiots? So immediately, I've seen it, why did you order that? And it's not like, oh, that's what he wants. It's, no, why did you order? Because we ordered the best. So you ordered something different. So does that mean what you ordered is not the best, and so you're an idiot? Why aren't you eating what we're eating? Or do you know something that we don't know, and that's better, and so therefore we're idiots because we ordered something that's not the best? Because we're New Yorkers. We're the best. Come on. You know, so we are the best. We eat the best. We, you know, everything the best. So very interesting dynamic. So you're an individual, but at the same time, you're within a very narrow range. You know, it's just like, okay, they all get a cold drink. You know, someone gets, you know, one thing, someone gets another, as long as it's, you know, it's okay. But if someone got tea, this, why did he get tea? You know, it's hot out. Why is he drinking tea? You know, that kind of thing. So immediately there's this very far out kind of dynamic. So you're going to have this thing, and so they say it's about everybody. There's no individuality. The more it works, the more it gets close to the ideal, then, you know, you end up with, what is it, you know, Pink Floyd's, what do you call it? That production machine. You know?
For us, it works very differently, Maharaj.
Hmm?
When we go to a restaurant, we prefer everybody orders different.
Because so then you can taste everything. Yes, because you had that sense of community. But here is the community. We do exactly the same thing. We all wear the same thing. We do the same thing. You know, like jean jackets. We all have jean jackets. They're not in. No one's wearing it.
Like if you are three, if you order something, you know that you are going to eat half of that. The rest half is quarter to this, quarter to that.
Yeah, yeah.
It moves like. So your preference is what you get, little more than others. That's it.
Okay. Oh, that works really good. Because, yeah, that always got me. That you prefer this, but when you get it, everybody else eats it and you only get a little bit. So then, you know, order two of them. That's interesting. Yeah, because then you can taste all the things. Yeah. Okay, yeah, that's true. Because I always remember when you're first sitting with the Indian group, the first thing is that they start eating and all that. They taste it and, oh, what's that? How's that? And then they start, you know, everything around the table. And okay. That makes sense. So, I have therefore sent this message to you to say that your enjoyment with me is true. So that means whatever was there in the past, it was true. It wasn't a waste of time or something unattainable. What you're experiencing now, because they think, oh, I keep remembering the past and all that, it's just bothering me. No, but that's true also. Because he is that. He's none different. So...
Yeah, so can we say that meditation, according to this explanation, means that we bring three phases of time into presence?
Yes, it's present. It means that spiritual means it's in the present. That's why you can only deal something now. So let's say someone's lamenting about something that happened, or think, oh, until this happens, we can't do anything. It's a problem, because they're not in the present. You can't do anything in the past or present. You can only do something in the present. I mean, past or future, excuse me. So you can only do something in the present. So, therefore, Krishna consciousness means in the present, what is the situation? How can I use that to please Krishna? It means you can see how things will unfold. But the point is you're connecting that to the present. You're acting on it. I'm moving forward. I'm going here. I'm acting. It's going this way. So I'm keeping that in the present. I start and I'm going this way, then I start moving it this way. Right? You know, that's where Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, you start off and then you see, okay, it's over here, then you go this way. Well, modern will say, okay, I went from here to here, I have to go back factor here. Destroy everything. Like make complete, you know, how you say, you know, scorched earth, you know, nothing, and then start again. No, he says, if you're over here, go this way. If you find you're over here, go this way. If you went this way, go that way. Point is, Krishna is the center. He's the center of everything. So you just see it. So that way, you know where you're going, but you're seeing where you're going from where you are. If you're just seeing that without the context of where you are, you can't do it. You can't get there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, if I'm aiming something, I have to see my position aimed towards what's there. You know, it's like those, I mentioned those kind of, one. I don't know if they still use it, I think they do. It's one kind of military defense system. It has a laser that finds things, and it has a gun, and it's laser. Right? So, the gun, wherever it's pointing, it doesn't matter. If then the machine sees something hostile, the gun starts firing. Doesn't matter which direction it is. Then, because it is firing a particular direction, then it's figured out which direction it is and what you have to do to make it in line with where it's going. So even if it's 180, then it just turns the gun around until the line of fire and the line of what it is are made in line. Very, very simple. Very simple. It's not that it only once it lines up it starts. No, it starts shooting until it hits the thing. So the point is it's just you have to see your position and what's there. If you don't see your position, you won't get there. If you don't see the goal, you won't do anything. You know, you don't see the past, you can't learn. But you have to see it from your position, not, oh, if we were there and if this happened, that happened. You're not there, you're here now. How does that apply now? You did that was stupid, don't be stupid now. You know, you pulled the refrigerator door open too quickly and everything fell out. Don't do that again. Now, open the fridge nicely. Things don't fall out. Is that?
Yeah.
So, the whole thing is about the present. That's the whole thing. And so, that's the thing, is that's why the intelligence can sit there in the middle, and the mind and the fault and the ego can switch places. Depending upon how you're looking at it. You're looking at the field, where you're going, to where it is like this, the experience, you're getting there and all these things. These can, because that's fixed there, so it's always from the present. You see both directions. So the whole thing matches nicely. It doesn't, it's not, there's no contradiction to it. It's just that it's very, how do you say, the principles are very simple, but it's very sophisticated. So then you can apply it in so many, and you have all these dynamics. But it's still the one same principle. Right? It's interesting when you get the thing, then you hear the clock, clonk, clonk, clonk. You know what I'm saying? It seems very slow, and then if you are worried about something, that gets even more farther apart. Just as a person who has arisen from sleep meditates on a false dream, using the mind, one thinks of objects and words even though they are false. Meditating on them by the mind, the senses attain them. Right? So you think about that, then the senses will attain. One should control the mind with all endeavors. Vinid traha. Even though the gopi separation does not take place by a superimposition of ignorance as in dream, the Lord instructs that she should seek out eternal union with the apricot pastimes in this way, since they experience not attaining him in the apricot pastimes. Or there is no separation if there is at least a partial union. Right? So, control the mind. Don't let it just be here. If you're absorbing in Krishna, then let it run that way. So they don't have the problem of the mind, they just have the problem of thinking that it's not real. Because Krishna is real. Whatever you're doing in connection with him is real. That's the realness to anything. And anything that has any substance, it's because of Krishna. Like, you know, you have a desk, it can hold things. That ability to hold, that's Krishna. You know, it's not that wood has that ability. No, you put it together like this, then that potency is there. You can put things inside. You know, so the thing about this desk where it can hold up the book, that's Krishna. So the substance is Krishna. So for us, we're looking at it, just calling to mind to just stick to the mechanics of what's there. But for the gopis, they're absorbed in Krishna already. So therefore, in the present, what you're thinking about in past and future, it's all Him. They don't have to think it's otherwise. So therefore, they by going into the apricot, then they can be fully absorbed there. But if they're in the prakat, then they feel that separation. But at the same time as that separation, then they still think about Krishna, and then they're with Krishna, and then the union is greater. And then something happens to that. So it's also part of the yoga maya that they'll go in and out of this. Because in one, you feel the separation. By the separation, it elevates the intensity. Then when you're with Krishna, that intensity of union is greater than it was previously. Right? And so it has its natural form, and then there'll be separation again to take it again to a higher level. So it's like the separation moves the bar up. Then when you experience Krishna at that point, it's much greater. Then it takes up the bar again, then the separation. So the goal is always the union, but the separation is appreciated. So the ones that, oh no, it's only separation, we shouldn't do anything about union, because then, but the point is separation has no meaning unless there is union. They go together. They're, how you say, a moiety. Right?
That's why, you know, modern people, they can't understand the principle of Purva Rag. Because Purva Rag means before union.
Yes.
But in Krishna consciousness, we can't explain it. But it's a very different, because as you mentioned, according to Satkaryavad, first, there's a union as a cause. Mm-hmm. Then the separation as an effect.
Mm-hmm.
But the effect doesn't exist without the cause. So where's the cause in that sense? Mm-hmm. If we never had union.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you mentioned, it shifts. Yeah. But where the shift starts from, mm-hmm. it's an unusual starting point, mm-hmm. which is separation.
Yes, but yes, 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 definitely. And you have the aspect of, as we're discussing here, that thinking of Krishna, it is Krishna. Yeah. So you are experiencing Krishna, mm-hmm. but at the same time, it will give the effect of a separation. So that way, then it will take it to that point where now they're qualified to be with Krishna. Because being with Krishna means at all moments. Because for us, let's say in our meditation, in one moment we're absorbed in Krishna. But in the next moment we're not. So how could we be with Krishna at one moment we're absorbed, the next moment we're not? You know, it's just like you're talking to somebody like that and it's really going and all that, and then they get into their phone. You know, it's really annoying. Because then how do you interact? So Krishna, when that's why samadhi, when it's fully absorbed, it's exclusive, nothing else, then you can be with Krishna. Because until you get to that, you can't take part in the pastime. But before that, you can take part through meditation. That's why the mantra pasanamaya, that one situation, there you absorb. And if you're not absorbed, it doesn't matter, because you're not connecting with yourself with the next situation. So it's perfectly worked out. Yeah.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.